Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
I still want us to see this great subject of be united with Christ in His death and His burial and His glory. So I'm selecting the hymns have to do with being united with Christ. The first one is number 708, Dying with Jesus, By Death Reckoning Mine, Living with Jesus, 708.
Dying with Jesus, my death reckoning mine, living with Jesus, a new life divine, looking to Jesus till glory does shine, moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine.
Well, if we really knew that, it would be jumping. That is tremendous. So, we live in Christ and Christ lives in us. And 438 makes that quite clear. 438.
Jesus, I die to Thee.
It's hymn number 437. 437.
That you might once again prove your faithfulness. You do it moment by moment for us. Tonight may we have eyes to see some of the great spiritual truths that are here in the book. Our Father, we pray for the work of thy Spirit, not only to have eyes to see, but ears to hear. May we be encouraged. May we be strengthened in our walk, and that a desire to please thee even more than we presently have in our hearts. Thank you for our Lord Jesus and his love for us and his ministry presently, and the fact that we are united with him in that mystical sense. We ask that we might see this. And so it is by your Spirit that we'll be able to understand the word tonight, and so we ask Spirit of God to do that and teach us, instruct us. We do need help. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Let's turn to Ephesians. I can see that Brother Tom has been celebrating his birthday. Today, yeah, how good. God is good to us. Well, I must tell you that on baptismal Sunday, I was in the pool, and waiting for the fellas, the thought occurred to me rather strongly. Now, you're talking this morning about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And just how do you explain that we have died and that we are buried and we're alive? Again, you say, well, by water baptism. Well, that's a symbol of it. It's symbolic. But what does it really mean? You say, did you really have that thought? Yep, I did. And so I thought, well, I'll just further that. And sometimes where we jump in where angels fear to tread. But it's a great truth. There are different illustrations in the Word of God to show this mystical, or the mysterial, mysterious union with Christ. I have Ephesians 5 before me, and it has been so ruined by every time we have a wedding, you have it, and they read it, and I guess that's all right, but what it's really saying is verse 32, in case you ever wonder about Ephesians 5. That's the whole secret of it. What? This illustration of marriage, husband and wife. Well, what about it? It's a great mystery. And he says the mystery is, he's speaking about Christ. He's speaking about Christ in the church when we use that passage for marriage. Yeah, well, I guess we heard that before. But I hope to get to that a little more. But how can it be that we've died and yet we live? You don't look like you're dead. How can you say that we died with Christ? Does it mean our old man died when he was crucified? You explain that to me. Something was punished at the cross beside our Lord Jesus. If he took my sins, and he took your sin, if he took the wrath of God that I deserve, I was there. Where? At the cross. And he took my place. He took my punishment. He took my hell. I was there. Well, now, come on. Yes. See, I don't understand that. I tell you, the mystery that the Bible speaks about it is, with human eyes and human reasoning, it is not reasonable. But we have this, the truth of the Word of God. There is Colossians I want to get to here tonight yet. Go back to Colossians and Ephesians. That last Sunday morning about that we have an identity, an image of God upon our hearts, and it's a seal, it's a letter of commendation, that is a terrific thing. You don't see my heart having that on, do you? Say, no, I don't see it. I don't see it on yours either. But the Word of God says it's there. Well, I suppose you could say that's quite interesting. But the world can't see the grace of God in us. Not really. They think we're weird. You're kind of strange. You know that. When they look at you. But we have been stamped with Christ's image. They don't see it. We are a new person in Christ. And it says we have died to sin. Oh, man, I want to get on that one. We died to sin. Hey, don't you have some problems in mind, thought, word, and deed? And yet the Bible says I've died to it. Like somebody explain it to us. Well, what do you mean we've died to sin, Lord? And I believe what it's really saying to it, that we no longer are bound. And that there's... In the lost condition, we didn't have any power not to sin. Oh, I'm going to be a good boy, Mama. Yeah. You know the story. We didn't have any power not to sin in our lost condition. But if we died to sin, and I like to get into this if I can sometime, it is saying that now we are freed and that we are not enslaved by the power of sin. Enslaved? No. We have that capability, we have that power in us so that we're not enslaved to sin. Whereas before we were saved, we didn't have anything to help us with it. Except maybe sophistication and education, but that didn't amount to spit. But now, in Christ, we have power. The Spirit of God speaks to us. We have power so that we don't have to sin. I didn't say we didn't, or that we don't, but we have power. It's there. You know, back in those days before we were saved and people who are lost, they're ruled by a different way. They're ruled by a different way. My neighbors, sure, come on now. Some of the kids, some of the grandkids, families, reunions, and so forth, there are those who are ruled. They're ruled by a love for money. That's their big thing. That's the big thing. Money, 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 money. How you doing? What are you doing? Trying to find out how much you make. Or the rule that they want you to know they are somebody. Yes, sir. I'm now the CEO. Have my own business, and I'm somebody. Or I do this or do that. I'm now teacher, preacher. And also in those lost days, the Bible makes it amply clear, we're at the lust. Lust. The lust of the flesh ruled us. Now you say, okay. Now what? The Bible says if we're mystically or mysteriously, whatever word you want to use there, the Bible uses it's a mystery. It is now that he has put us in a union with Christ so that those things, the former things, they don't have the power over us. I'd say, well, that sounds good. The old sinful heart has been done away, and we now have a new heart. It isn't talking about a literal pumper. It's talking about the most inner part of us, innermost part of us. So, if I'm going to do a little of this further, I'm going to ask you to go to Colossians. You say, well, you gave a study in Colossians. Well, did I? We're dealing with the Word of God, not some nonfiction book. We're dealing with the Word of God, and so you just can't fathom everything there. And so in Colossians, the third chapter, I want us to look at these few verses here, primarily verses 3 and 4 of Colossians 3. What about it? It says this, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Christ is now my life. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That's interesting. I don't see it. No, your human eyes are not going to see that. What does the word say here? It says it's hid. Verse 3. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, now then shall you also appear with him in glory." Think you get good eyesight? Well, you don't see this. You don't see that. It's hid. But Christ is now our life, and it's called, theologically, is called the mystical union in Christ. That's the theological terms. Mystical union in Christ. So if you want to study this further, I'm going to punch in that particular avenue. It's a great truth. You know, it's a good hymn to sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." That's a good hymn. But it goes further than he's a friend. He actually is my life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, not just a friend. "Hi there, we're friends, we are. You walk with me and talk with me." That's wonderful. But it goes further than that. It's more than association. It's nice to have a friend. And he is. He's a friend of friends. But he's in us. And we're in him. That's called theologically the mystical union in Christ. Now, you won't find it so popular. Turn on the radio, TV, you probably won't hear much about it. So am I giving you something new? No, it's been around for a long time. John Flavel, a Puritan, wrote a whole book about it. And it's a subject that perhaps we ought to try to know something about, just using some simple terms. Anybody can say union in Christ. But what does it mean? That's the point. But it means that he is our source of strength and power to live this life. Power, power, wonderful working power. There's power. Well, in another place it speaks about Christ being the head, and that's in Ephesians, 5. Christ being the head. What does that mean? It shows a union with Christ. What good would it be to have a body without a head? Please tell me. What good would it be to have a head without a body? He said, this is a mystery. I'm talking about Christ in the church. What ruins us is when we go to a wedding, we hear Ephesians 5, isn't it? Well, I wonder if this is going to last. But it looks like they put a lot of money into this wedding, thousands and thousands of dollars. I wonder if it's going to amount to anything, because we know that half the marriages or more are ending in divorce. And so when a preacher reads Ephesians 5, he said, well, that sounds pretty good. It's Bible. But it goes further than that. He said, I'm talking about Christ. I'm talking about Christ in the church. Paul, by the Spirit of God. He uses the illustration. And so if you know anything about marriage, and of course if you do, all these thoughts about marriage here are just tremendous, but think of the church as Christ in the church. Loving, subjection, right down the line, and sanctification, holiness. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Ephesians 5 that we hear read at weddings all the time. And how to love your wives as you love your own bodies, and talking about love. It goes on about how you should be concerned about the church, to make sure it's nourished and cherish it, and cherish the church as the Lord, the church, and remembers that we're members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. You say, well, so what? Whoa, this is great stuff. If you only could grasp it. I feel like a pitcher. I'm getting up here and I'm winding up, Come on, let's get that thing across. But you've got the discipline and say, well, I'd like to know more about that too. Don't expect one person to play the whole game. Got these other guys out there in the field. Where did I see? $250 million for pitchers for the baseball, paying for the baseball pitchers in the playoffs. That's a lot of money to give for pitchers, isn't it? $250 million. Well, pitchers are important, apparently. But we need the fellows out there, too. And so you say, well, I don't understand what you're trying to get at here. Well, did I say it was going to be easy? I said it's a mystery. It isn't really something that the ordinarily, you don't, no matter what your intelligence, your IQ is, it's just something to say, well, I can understand that. You can. The Bible says it's a mystery. It's hid. And so when we come to know the Lord, he opens our eyes, and he gives us to see some of these things. And so we have this matter is Christ being the head of the church, and we're the body, the church. And there is this close union together, loving, close union together. No divorces, no divorce. See, that's it. When once you're in Christ, he keeps you. You're secure in Christ. So we're talking about, this is a mystery, speaking about Christ in the church. Well, if we have this union with the Lord, and it speaks about it, it has to do with it. He does enliven us. He is our strength. He, by his Spirit, he infills us. Not only that, he empowers us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, when our blessed Lord walked on this earth, who was he? God. Yeah. Did he do some things? Yeah. were people taken, you know, where they said, oh, this is God. No, they didn't say he was God. They didn't know who he was. Well, he had some healings. Yes, he did. And great words. Yes, he did. But they didn't know who he was. So why did you expect that I'm to tell you, since we have a mystical union with Christ, that everybody ought to know who we are? It was Mark Twain, wasn't it, that wrote Prince and a Pauper? You know about that story? And these two boys looked alike, didn't they? Remember that? We saw it, didn't we? You read it. It goes way back. And somehow or other they said, let's change clothes, as boys will do. Woo-wee! Did the little prince find out what it was like to be out there begging? It's a great story. I could give you the ending, but I guess I'll just let you hang there. But they looked alike. Which one is the prince? Which one is the pauper? Couldn't tell the difference. Well, they threw him out. They caught the prince dressed in the pauper's clothes, and the guards threw him out. He said, no, I'm the prince, I'm the prince, I'm the prince. Said, get out of here. And the identity of being a Christian is like that. They don't really see who you are. God sees. He sees his imprint upon you. He sees on your heart, not written by ink, but it's there in your heart, a commendation that he's mine. She's mine. Wonderful. But they didn't see us dying at the cross either. They didn't see us being buried either in Christ. What? Yes. He didn't die alone. He died for his people, the elect. And if you're a Christian sitting here tonight, you were there according to the Word of God. You were united. You were even selected before the foundation of the world. He didn't see you be resurrected, did they, either? The first century Christians didn't see, they weren't known either. You know what they did to the first century Christians? They said they're cannibals. What? Those people who say they are followers of Christ, they're cannibals. No, where'd you get that dumb idea? The Lord's Supper. You take ease, this is my body, which is broken for you. That's the world thinking. And he also said they're an immoral bunch because they love one another. They talk about love. This is an immoral bunch. Immoral bunch and a bunch of cannibals out there. They didn't see him. And they were godly people. Why would you expect that somebody say, oh, there's Mr. So-and-so. He is a fine Christian. There's Mrs. So-and-so. Oh, what a wonderful Christian she is. If our life is hidden in Christ, they're not going to see you either. Does that mean we quit? No, not at all. In fact, if you're still there in Colossians, look at chapter 1, that verse. We did spend some time, but like other things, we can still go back. Colossians 1, verse 26 and 27. Tremendous, talking about union. Look at this. There's a mystery. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. To his saints. Didn't say that the world is going to recognize you. Oh, but look at verse 27. Isn't that wonderful? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, what? In you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah, that's just, if you could really tonight just envision that God would take the veil off of your eyes and you could see one another that know Christ as Savior, how the Lord looks upon us. How does the Lord look upon us? What's he see? Well, I told you, we looked at 2 Corinthians 3, that he sees the image of Christ on us, in our hearts. He sees indeed that we are king of, we're kings. Kings? Yes. He sees also that we're heirs of heaven. There goes an heir of heaven there. Look at her. There goes the one who's a king. He's part of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's a king. Prince. Really now? Yeah. Oh, that sounds pretty interesting. That's my child. When God looks upon you, he says, that's my child. And he's my prize. You've seen parents just love their kids. Just love the babies. You know, everybody loves a baby. But that's why God really loves you. You're his child through faith in Christ. And he looks upon you and he says, that's my boy. That's my girl. Look at that imputed. Look, he's righteous and she's righteous. They have an imputed righteousness of Christ. That's my child. And I love them. Jesus loves me. This I know. A retired man, we were talking, and he said, well, be something that we would, you know, have to sing, you know, without the hymn books. And he said, you know, there'd be only one hymn I could sing without the hymn book. I said, I bet I know what it is. And he said, yeah, Jesus loves me, this I know. I said, yeah, that's a great hymn. That's a great hymn. I don't know why they said it's for children. It's a great hymn. And so if he'd lift the veil, you would also, if God would lift the veil off your eyes to see me, you would see that there are angels that attend. You would see that the Spirit of God is trying to help me get this message across. Really now. You would also see that God's glory in me. So I don't see much of that in you now. No, you don't. It's hidden, and nor do I see it in you. However, there is this that we need to understand. If we're a prized possession of God, and we are in Christ, and we ought to have a desire that I want to reflect Christ more than what I am doing. You know what? If you have a desire for the Word of God and say, boy, I got to get this. If you have a desire to come here tonight and say, I hope we get something tonight. My old heart needs to be fed. I hope we get something tonight out of the service. Why are you here? If you're not here because that I just need something. I want to please the Lord in my life. I need to know more of this blessed book. And I need Christian fellowship. I want to be encouraged. If that's not your desire, you're probably, whatever. You got a problem like we all have our problems. And it'll be times we're not feeling well, and we have other things that are the flesh, the world of flesh and the devil has given us a work over. But if we could really see Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's a tremendous thought. It wouldn't be any problem for me to pray with you, would it? Shouldn't be any problems for Christians to pray together, to weep together, to rejoice together, and to be saved when a brother is being blessed, to be say it from the very depths of your heart and really mean it and said, you know, brother, sister, I'm grateful for you. God's blessing upon you and God helping you. I'm just delighted about it. And if you can't do that, then you need to get in this book more. If you say you're a child of God. Now, there are other symbols. There is this matter of the rock, that Christ is our rock. Well, what do I care about a rock? This is a rock that's immovable, and if you're attached, you're in Christ, and Christ being the rock, there's nothing that can move that rock. That's what the Bible shows us about the rock. It's steadfast and sure. Storms may hammer on us. Floods may around us. But if we're in Christ, we're in the rock of ages, cleft for me. We've got an anchor, steadfast and sure, on that rock. Union with Christ. And then that 15th chapter of John. I'll never forget this chapter. At my ordination. And I was anticipating all kinds of questions, and I got them. And one of the guys, a preacher some years ago, Ralph Lentz preached in his pulpit a few years ago. And Ralph was at my ordination. And so just the preachers and the helpers, so to speak, and there they are in the afternoon. I gave my doctrinal view, so to speak. And he said, okay, now we want to ask you some questions. And in that, Ralph said to me, he said, when it comes to the Gospel of John chapter 15, how do you interpret it? And I said, well, I think it's referring to Christians. But you know what? If you think you're a smarty pants and you can buzz right through John 15, I challenge you to try it. Because if you're not careful, you'd say, well, I don't understand this pruning, and it's talking about the Lord Jesus, that he's divine. Well, I understand that. You don't need to have an education. Yeah, he's divine. Mm-hmm. And that's look at verse 5. I'm talking about the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verse 5 through 8. And he says, I'm the vine. Okay, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, or without me it can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And that's good. We have some grapes. If you need to go out and study them, go out here and study with grapevines. If you don't know what that's talking about. When we were just picking them, we could hardly get through. Because they twist around and around and over and down and all around. Yeah. He's a living vine. It is Christ. He's the root. Now, we are the branches. And it's talked about some branches are cut and cast into the fire. That's where Ralph wanted to get me. I know he did. But it's talking, if you want to talk about it, it's like a church like we have. Do you believe all of us are saved? I would say, oh, yes, Lord, it has to be so. Well, no, probably not. And in the church, you have those who are false sons in the pale. And like Judas. Man, he was right there, wasn't he? With the other disciples and the Lord Jesus all that time. You know what happened to him. He did not abide. He was not saved. And he died. And he's in Hades. But he was with the Lord. And some people in a church, they hear the word of God. They aren't really saved. Go through the motions. Abracadabra. Pick up a little prayer way of saying prayers. And hey, go to church. Union with Christ as into the living vine. A living and a source of strength, nutrient, sap. To be able to give forth fruit. Sustaining us. Taking care of us, to be mystically, mysteriously union with Christ. What a glorious subject it is. Without him, you can do nothing. And then we have the matter that we just looked at, is about husbanding, being the head of the wife and so forth, taking his name. I don't understand some of these gals. They don't change their names. That's why. Forget about Ephesians 5. unless they really are Christians. But they take, when you marry a person, you take on their indebtedness. If the average person has over 10,000 indebtedness in credit cards, if you marry that person and they have two cards, that $20,000, that's your problem, baby. This matter of Ephesians 5, husband as the head of the church, I tell you, that's marvelous. Brethren, he said, my God shall supply all your need in riches, according to his Philippians 3 there. My God shall supply your need according to his riches in Christ. Is that it? Wonderful. And my husband, yeah? Hey, I owe $10,000. You do? No problem, baby. We'll take care of it. You're serious? Sure, take care of it. And the Lord Jesus said, you're mine, I'm in you, you and me, you're mine, I'm the head. It's like a marriage, and it's the responsibility is mine. I'll take care of you, sustain you, help you, persevere you by my Spirit. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian. I just had chills go up my back, friends. Well, I don't think we have any comprehension of this great subject. We're kept by the Spirit of God. We're sealed by the Spirit of God. I love that. Every time I see a tractor trailer going down the road and I see that little metal lead part in there, that means guaranteed don't mess with it till it gets there. And you've been sealed by the Spirit of God. Guaranteed don't mess with it, you'll get there. Isn't that wonderful? We can be vitalized by the Lord. He'll not forsake us. He'll not divorce us. He'll be right with us. And he loves us. Oh, child, you are spending too much with this old world. Nathaniel, would you do me a favor? In that room, there is a book. It's a black little booklet. Where shall we go from here? Would you go in there and see if you can find it? Left-hand side, son, I want to read you something that I read to a man this week that lost his mother. It's a black book, Nathaniel. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. I'll do you a favor sometime, pal. I didn't know that he lost his mother. She was aged. She lived right down the road a ways. And I just had this with me. You'll die where I had it, but I had it. And I said to him, I said, Fred, I'm sorry. He said, well, my mother knew the Lord. I said, oh, that's good. She was a Baptist. And I said, well, that's good too. And he said, you know, it's something to have the Lord. And I said, yeah, Fred, it's true. And he's a businessman. He owns his own business in alignment. And I said, Fred, I want to give you this. Where do we go from here? I said, now it's this kind of small print, and it has quite a few pages. And I said, but if you'd only read, 5 minutes a day. I said, look what it says in the back, Fred. You listen. We invest a massive amount of time and energy and working and thinking and planning and money into the things that we do in life. And we have our jobs, our homes, our family, our possessions, our plans, our pleasures, our hopes, our hobbies, and they take up every waking hour. Why, of course they do. Yet every one of these things will be snatched away from us by death. Every one of them. Well, what then? So to ignore the question is futile, and to toy with it is foolish. It needs to be faced seriously, sensibly, and urgently. And this booklet does exactly that. I said, Fred, you need to read it. You think about that too. You say, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm united with the Lord Jesus, and God sees me in such a wonderful light, and he's going to take care of me. And say, okay, and you have to do these things, some of these things. You know that. But if, does it mean that 100% of the time I have to grind my, put my nose to the grindstone? I want to please Him. I want to know more about Him. And as I go about, I ask Him for help, because we all need help. And one of these days He's going to say, come home. Come home. It's supper time. Now, I'm not finished. I don't know if I'll get back to it, but there's... It's just wonderful, and yet it's so mind-boggling that I just can be a Christian and it doesn't make any difference. Oh, yes, it does make a difference. Oh, well, the world doesn't see it. You said, no, they don't see it. But I'll tell you one thing. God sees it, and He wants us to. He says, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. No, He said that to the Lord. We're in Christ, thank you. And to look upon us and say, this is my beloved daughter. My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Is He? Are we working at it? That's the question.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.